time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, we'd like to thank our Powell County sports sponsors for allowing us to do this show throughout the summer. Again, this is our repayment back to those sponsors who did not get a baseball, softball season. We are doing this show to keep you updated on what's going on in Powell County sports, other sports, and just kind of keep you informed for, through the COVID-19 pandemic that we are in. And again, as first and always, the first segment, I kind of, I guess, designate that to talking about the COVID-19 and where we are. Again, we are still at this time, at the, as far as the school system, in phase two of the sports. And we are, before we go on to the next week's show, we'll be in phase three. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show, what that means and the differences thereof. Also got you got some COVID updates for today, I think.
Yeah, several things that the governor kind of mentioned today during his press conference. 14,363 confirmed cases here in Kentucky, 3,706 recovered cases, and unfortunate 538 deaths that have actually occurred. The numbers are still fairly high in Kentucky as far as the daily totals. You know, it's almost like we're still on that peak in a sense. We've not necessarily seen a significant steady decline to where those numbers have continue to reduce. So we're still kind of not necessarily peaking, but we're at least a steady on top in a sense as far as the numbers. And one of the things that he mentioned as well is that he will no longer be doing daily press conferences. He'll be going on Tuesdays once a week. So he'll start this upcoming Tuesday, going once a week, doing the updates for the whole week. However, they will be doing daily press releases, whether it's through social media, obviously on the news channels, things along those lines, keeping everybody informed and up to date. Obviously, with the increase in numbers, as far as the steadiness, still have to, you know, wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, continue to do all of those things. And one of the things he kind of mentioned, too, obviously, with many states opening up, they've already linked several cases back from Myrtle Beach, where people have obviously gone, you know, on vacation in a sense, and they've been able to trace it where they contracted it in Myrtle Beach and actually brought it back there. So under those circumstances, the fact that people are traveling more, going out of state, interacting with other people from states, obviously being asymptomatic, is a big issue as well. Obviously here in Powell County, still the six numbers, one active case that we currently have. Our numbers are low in that regard. However, we also know that more people are going back to work and traveling out of county and doing that. And then even the numbers that come in were obviously delayed in that regard, as far as some of them attributed to where you're getting the test. Not that you can't test here in the county, because you can, but getting those numbers, and then by the time the health department gets those numbers and, you know, they're making their statements and announcements, it's behind. We're lagging behind. Correct. In a sense, as far as that information.
And you know, it is problematic, because today, I know they mentioned this on the news, or maybe last night, we are at the number of cases nationwide now, of new cases, that we were on the shutdown.
So back in April.
So we have lost our momentum of going down due to the open up, and not just due to the open up, but I think due to the open up plus people not taking the precautions that are necessary. So if you go out in public and you are asymptomatic and you're not wearing the mask, that's a problem for others that you're going to come in contact with. Again, the mask is not to protect you. It's to protect others around you. in case you are asymptomatic. And that's the problem with COVID, is you've got a lot of folks that have this virus, have no clue they have it until they've already spread it to some people that unknowingly, and I'm not saying it's any fault of anybody, but again, we've got precautions for a reason. It is wear a mask, wash your hands, and safe distance. Now, obviously, if you're safe distancing and you're not around any people, it's okay not to wear the mask. But if you're going to be around people for especially an extended period of time, masks are going to be required. Now, there's also information passed today about opening of schools. And again, this is just going to be basic stuff I can give you because you can go online and see it. But what they are projecting now is, since the budgets don't have what they have in any particular district, looks like what they've come out as far as transportation is concerned, there'll be one route. There won't be the double routes because there's limitations of space on the bus. But the students enter the bus, the monitor should check for screen for temperature check, and the students must, it's not an option, must wear a mask on the bus.
As well as, obviously, we realize with classroom sizes, you're not going to be able to fit a lot of students with that social distancing in a classroom. Therefore, students more than likely, again, each district is kind of on their own despite the guidelines
Correct.
Being issued by KDE and the state, is that at that point, potentially, students will have to wear a mask those 6 to 7 hours in the classroom, not necessarily changing classrooms, et cetera. Now, obviously, under the circumstances, someone might have a health condition preventing them from having to wear that mask, let's say asthma as an example, not necessarily having to wear that mask all day
yeah.
in a sense, you know, and maybe in a sense they're kind of separated out maybe just a little bit more along those lines.
As long as they meet the safe distancing protocol, then they are allowed to remove their mask.
Right.
I know I saw the thing today where class sizes could be altered. However, if you don't have the space enough to fit your students' needs, you can get closer together, but the students at that point have to wear the mask.
Right.
So with all the issues we have socially and the division we have on wearing a mask, that's going to be a problem for administrators, for kids. What do you do with the kid on day 3 that says, okay, I'm not wearing a mask anymore? I don't know what you do with that.
Or whose parent says, my child doesn't have to wear the mask, or I don't want my child to wear the mask, or whatever. I mean, again, we're getting into a lot of areas
yeah.
that we don't even know about in many respects, right?
Until
we're in it, though, we're not really going to know even some of the issues or scenarios that could possibly play out.
Oh, I think they know this scenario is coming. I think you heard the commissioner talk today about, well, we got this one is a problem because socially we have a lot of division on wearing a mask. That is correct. They know this is going to be an issue going forward when we go back to school in August or whenever that may be. And it looks like right now that schools are planning to reopen. I know the district, I think, is making a decision maybe next week on reopening.
At least in July, as far as getting more of an
yeah.
idea of what the dates might even be. Obviously, there's 3 options currently. And I know that the superintendent sent out a survey, parent survey,
yeah.
To get more feedback as far as what some input would be, moving forward. So how that plays out, what the dates, start dates, you know, that the board approves, and then obviously how we go forward from there. Even food service obviously is another
yes.
issue, you know, as far as that. So you have your transportation, you have your social distancing in your classrooms. We're doing a Monday, Wednesday, every other Friday, a Tuesday, Thursday, every other Friday kind of scenario in a sense as far as the students. What about NTI work? Those parents who will not send their kids to school. Again, there's so many different options and possibilities that the district is having to work
yes.
out and plan accordingly with the state as far as what they're going to do moving forward.
And I know I did hear the Lieutenant Governor talk today about there was a couple of waivers of statute today. And one was the, unlimited NTI is a possibility, and the ADA or your SEEK funds. And what that is your average daily attendance your district gets whatever money based on their attendance. And that has been waived, so I guess you're just going to get a, I guess they're going to assume you're 100% attendance. Now, my question would be this, the next part, if you don't send your kid to school on day one or two or three, that kid doesn't enroll until they are physically in the room. Or if they are choosing a stay-at-home option and they're going to do stuff online, would that mean that they have enrolled in your district and you're going to get funds for that student? Those are some questions, again, logistically, you got to iron out going forward on where the funding is available and if the funding is available for that student that chooses to stay at home. And I would assume they would waive some of those things as well. But, again, those are some things that will have to be answered probably, I would think, in the next couple of weeks, probably middle of July. Those questions probably will be answered if not
at least
already.
A little bit more finalized.
Yeah, I think, mid-July you're going to see some things. And again, we're not trending in a good direction right now as far as the number of cases. We're trending in a downward projection as far as bad. I'm not saying we're going up. So that is a bad scenario, and I don't think anybody wants to shut down again. So, folks, if you're going out, again, try to follow the safe distancing, wear the mask, and, again, wash your hands as much as possible, because if you don't, we're going to wind up right back where we were. And, again, the second shutdown, as all the experts have said, would be a lot worse than the first one.
Yeah, and the fact you ended up mentioning as well, yesterday was the largest single day total
today
in the nation.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry, numbers. Yes,
nationally. So under those circumstances, realizing everyone is slowly opened up, and now our numbers are going up. So the largest single day since all of this has started, and that's we're going in the opposite
in
direction.
In Florida today, they sent this out earlier. 5,100 cases, which is a record for a one day in one state, 5,100 cases of coronavirus today. So, again, we got a lot of folks traveling to Florida from Kentucky, and a lot of folks in Powell County, I know, that are in Florida right now. So, I'm telling you, you never know who you're around, because that is a huge number. Because earlier when we were talking about this, we had a couple states that were way up on the count. Now this is growing. More states are growing at pretty astronomical rates.
And obviously the number of people who have been out protesting, Lexington, Louisville, various cities right across the nation, under those circumstances, some haven't as far as the mask. Obviously the social distancing has not been a factor. So now when these people get back home in a sense and or get tested, what kind of numbers will we see elevated from those people that have been participating?
The only good thing about most of the rallies and the protesters is it's done outdoors. That if you have a good thing out of it, it's at least outdoors. But if you're around the same people all day long, it's probably not going to matter as much. If you're indoors, it'd definitely be an issue. But again, we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to have our guest on here tonight, here in a few minutes. Coach Ken Jones will be joining us. Give us his take on COVID and how it's affected girls volleyball and basketball as well. We'll have Coach Jones after the break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Times have never been better to buy a new 2020 Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram than right now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Rates are low, trade values are high, and rebates are at an all-time level. Drive forward with the folks at Tanner. You won't find a better deal or a better place to do business. Shop Tanner first. Call them at 606-663-2856. Just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton. Proudly serving Eastern Kentucky for over 20 years.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless knows community and connectivity are key. That's why they've created the Appalachian Wireless Advantage Plan. The Advantage Plan caters to the wants and needs of its customers. Flexible contract lengths, more opportunities to upgrade your device, lower upfront cost for a new device, while also having the possibility of lowering your monthly bill. The advantage is choosing Appalachian Wireless, but like the Advantage Plan, the choice is yours. Go in today to an Appalachian Wireless retail location for more details. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
All right, welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And like we said before, we are going to be joined now with Coach Ken Jones. How you doing, Coach Jones?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you and Ken?
Good. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good, too. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Nobody usually asks us that question in reply, so, but I appreciate it. So you have been working hard here. We are in, I guess, phase two as far as the KHSA updates. And
up until Monday.
Up until Monday, we'll go to phase three. I'm going to get some clarification from you because you're an expert, I'm sure. What's going to be the big change between phase two and phase three?
Well, I don't see any humongous changes coming along, David. Between those two phases, we got our back-to-school outlines today from the governor. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that and catch up on it or not.
Some, yes.
Yeah, it's still going to be social distancing, 6 feet apart, still have to wear a mask, still have to sanitize everything, trying to protect yourself as much as possible.
Now, a question as far as practice. You guys are doing some conditioning now, and you're actually back inside. So how is that going so far?
Well, last week we were allowed in the field house. We did a lot of weights and a lot of conditioning, and this week we got to move inside. So we went to conditioning, of course, and then about half the time we work on individual skills. Been bringing in each team 3 times a week. So we're trying to get ready to go in case they let us. We're just crossing our fingers and hoping. The big change next week, I think, is we can pull groups of 50 in at a time, but they still got to be subdivided into groups of 10.
Right. So, you can actually have assistants working with them at that point, right?
Right.
So what kind of participation are you having so far as your players?
Well, the girls that are, it's all strictly voluntary, of course, and that's one thing I'm having a hard time getting used to. But the girls that are coming in are, you know, highly motivated. They want to get ready. They want to prepare. They want to do better. And the numbers some days are disappointing. Today, they were down a little. But overall, about maybe half the girls are coming in, maybe a third.
So and we want to clarify that you're talking about two sports. You're talking about your volleyball girls and your basketball girls, correct?
Right. Yeah, we're bringing each one of them in.
Now, how long are you having to stay to get in enough girls, or are you having enough girls to where it makes a difference as far as, I guess you can be with 9 right now, right?
Well, I think it's 9 or 10. I'm thinking it's 10 to a group plus one coach. So we're putting in Monday, Wednesday, Friday I go in, and then Tuesday, Thursday the assistants go in.
So okay.
We've got our schedule pretty well worked out.
So you're pretty much doing every day as far as somebody, as far as when the kids are scheduled to do their workouts.
Yeah, right. Different groups, though.
I got you. So right now you've got them in groups of whatever that number is on, and you're having to come in for 5 days to get all the groups in for at least two workouts apiece, I would think, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've got one group that's getting in three workouts a week, and then the other group's getting in two a week. So.
That the basketball group getting in three?
Well, one group of volleyballers, one group of basketballers are getting in 3 days a week, and then the younger group's getting in 2 days a week.
Okay, I'm with you. I follow that.
How difficult is it to kind of coordinate that in a sense that, okay, they're lifting weights, and now you have someone get off one of the machines, and now all of a sudden the time to wipe it down and to clean it and then to make the rotations. How much time, in a sense, is it taking to away from, you know them actually being able to do some of those steady workouts?
Well, you know, you've got to have a little bit of downtime there to wipe everything down. Today's first day, we got the Vertimax out, so that took a little while. Worked on it, and then I've been dividing it up. We're going half conditioning and half skill work.
Now, the conditioning part would be quite a bit easier just because there's not a lot of stuff to have to wipe down after the kids run, right?
Right, and then, you know, when you get to the skills part, you've got to wipe the ball down. It's one player per ball. They can't share. They can't pass. They can't. There's all kinds of things they can't do.
So and that won't change next week either.
No, it'll still be solo.
Yeah.
So how will you kind of, what's your plan as far as even being able to work through that? Like, what have you had to do in order to make adjustments to what your normal routine would be in order to meet these guidelines?
Well, we've had to come be innovative in as far as much as we do. Like volleyball, we've been doing a lot of passing to the wall and setting to the wall, hitting off the walls, and and in basketball, it's one girl per basketball goal.
Wow,
it's been kind of difficult.
Hopefully, all the goals are down.
Comfortable. Yeah, we've got them all six down now. So. It's working out pretty well, though. They're just a little uncomfortable trying to work out with a mask on.
That was my next question. Kids are now having to wear a mask through the workout, correct?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to follow all of that, and I guess that's a good thing.
Now,
I'm just amazed when I get out in public and see all the people without them.
Yeah, we just had that little comment we was talking about just right before we went on with you. Was, my biggest issue is the folks not taking the advice and seeing a rise in number of cases all over the nation. And part of that is because they don't want to wear the mask, or they're way too, I guess, lack of cautious, if not for a better word.
Yeah, and, it's not that much trouble to pull your mask up when you go in a store or in wherever you're going and then take it back down when you come out. It's not that bad.
Yep, I totally agree. Now, this is a question that's going to, it's not going to sound mean, but it's not. Now, you are of age where you are affected more than some others. Has
right.
that been a problem
with you? I'm in that vulnerable group.
and I don't mean that to be,
I know.
I worry about your health because, you're going to be around these kids at practice. When you start school back, you're with them in the classroom every day. How concerned are you to get back in the classroom on a daily basis with the students? And just to say this bluntly, just because of your age.
Yeah, well, yeah, I understand that, and I've been somewhat concerned. I've been at times maybe 50-50 on whether to go back or not, but as of right now, I plan on it, and I'm trying to follow the guidelines, trying to take care of myself.
Well, and the thing with the mask, we talk about this all the time with the mask. All the mask does is protect others from you if you've got it. But the problem is if you get around someone and you just come in contact with them and they've got it, the mask really doesn't protect you from them if they don't wear the mask. So that's the problem out in the public, is these folks that are just whatever, I'm not going to wear my mask, they're putting you at risk.
Yeah, they are. And you feel like just looking at them saying, where is your mask? Put that darn thing on. But, of course, you can't do that.
Well, Ken told me when we first went on the show, we first got here in the studio, Dave, you're getting almost in that group too. And so it's not just you. It's you know, it's all of us. I know I read a thread today on Facebook about retired teachers that are doing sub work. A lot of people are choosing just, they're saying, well, they're not going to do anything because it's too risky for them and there's not enough money in it to go back and do the work and for risking your health and your family's health due to that.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, it stays on your mind quite often, but I don't know, you just gotta make your mind up whether you can or you can't, whether it's worth it or not.
That's the whole big bottom line question. And I mean, do you foresee any problems with school starting? I know Ken and I have talked about it several times on here. With the first rules we saw, we didn't see it possible. As we get closer, they're kind of letting back some of the things that they said before, like the buses. Now they're saying you can fill the buses up to capacity, but the kids have to wear the mask. So do you see any problems going forward?
Yeah, I'm just waiting on, after the guidelines came out today, Dr. Orr, of course, will come out with, and the Board of Education will come out with their plan. I saw where one county's already come out with theirs. And some of them are going with the hybrid. The kids come in 2 days a week, and NTI 2 days a week, and some are going, you know, it's their choice, in-person only.
We'll get our
plan lined out, I guess, by the middle of July.
And we said there, that's plenty of time, I guess, to get the information out to you guys as teachers and the administration at the high school. I don't know. It's a question where the safety of others is coming to effect, but you've got cooks, bus drivers, teachers' assistants, the teachers themselves, administrators, forgive me if I left someone out.
Custodians,
maintenance workers, all these folks who are maybe a little older are more at risk. And when you go into a school setting, these kids, it may not affect them as much, but could. But a lot of people are at risk when you go into a building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read a statistic last week that those of us in our age group are 10,000 more at risk than somebody, say, 16 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That makes you think about it a little bit different.
Yeah, it does.
Well, stay with us for a second.
You know, there have been some positive things come out of it, you know. Well, we'll get to that after you take your break.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to take a break. We'll get some more information from you here on PCSN Live, here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. always striving to meet the needs of their customers. Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. Here with David Kent. I'm having trouble saying all these initials unless I really slow down. So I do apologize for getting that all in there. But again, Ken, you said there were some positive things that have come out of this. Can you enlighten us a little bit of what you think there?
Yeah, well, on a personal level, you know, I've got to stay home, rest up quite a bit, interact with the family. We've done a lot of things together that we haven't had time to do in the past. When it was cold weather, we stayed inside, played some rook, and got in a lot of that, and now we've moved outside the cornhole. So, you know, that's one positive.
Well, I mean, you've been like we've been on here, and I'll get to the other ones in a minute, but we've all talked about how much time did you get to spend with your family. I guess either going to drive you crazy or you see the flip side, and it's kind of sometimes it's just nice to be home. I mean, that's what I've kind of seen. It's, you know, I miss softball season a lot when we didn't get the season. But then again, there was a trade-off of got to spend a lot of time at home, which I normally wouldn't do in the spring.
Right. And that's what I was talking about on a personal level. As far as the players are concerned, I think probably the number one thing is that they're not taking it for granted anymore, that it's, you know, you don't miss it until it's gone, and the very real possibility that you lose your last season or your season at all is something to really think about and appreciate if you do get to play. I don't know, you lost your season. That had to be very disappointing.
Well, it was, but I will tell you what was really heartwarming, Ken, is the kids, the way they took it. And most of the kids that I talked to said, you know, I understand we're protecting others who may get sick, and we don't want to get anybody else sick if we're around it. So I think really I learned so much about the kids, even like a lot of the seniors, you know, the graduation part, that's kind of the vibe that I got from them is it's not okay to lose a season or the graduation or whatever the seniors lost, but the way they handled it was with so much maturity and so much thought. I was really impressed with what the kids had to say on that. And again, like you said, whenever softball season rolls around, I think those kids are going to be more motivated to play. On the flip side, your kids with volleyball and basketball, if they played the other sport in the spring that they lost, I think are going to be more hungry.
Oh yeah, they will be. And you know, we want to, volleyball, we want to take one more step this year. We got the regional finals, and we want to go that last little step and get over the hump this year, and I think there's a good possibility of that. Basketball-wise, we want to continue to rebuild and get that done.
Now, you look to be really young in basketball, but in volleyball, you guys are really lost a lot last year as well, but you've got a lot of returning kids coming back in volleyball.
Yeah, we've got some talent back. We'll miss the ones who graduated, of course. And by the way, a positive note, I don't know if you saw it or not, Sierra Dawson signed with Alice Lloyd yesterday. So
I did see that on Facebook last
evening. She's got a scholarship there.
And that is great for the kids to continue. And I know Sierra loved volleyball. I could see her at school, and she had a volleyball in her hand somewhere, wherever she was going. And really, she impressed me so much over her 4 years of high school volleyball that I was just, I didn't realize how good she was until we just kept watching her play it like in the tournaments, and you could tell how much the kid loved it.
Yeah, she did, and I encouraged her, and we looked around several times, and she'd say, "Well, I'm not going to play anywhere." And then she said, "Well, I've changed my mind. Help me find a place." So Coach Hall got a steal there, I think, for Alice Lloyd.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
How was the, you know, the attitude, you kind of alluded to it earlier in our conversation, how was the attitude of the girls that are coming out conditioning and even doing some of the light workouts, how has their attitude been going forward, realizing that, okay, we're hopeful that there's going to be a season, at the same time, maybe not getting too high in that regard as far as realizing that, you know, it might not happen. You know, it may happen, it might not happen. So how's their attitude been as far as even going through this conditioning in this process?
Well, like I said earlier, they're highly motivated. The ones that are coming in, we want to be ready to go if the KHSAA says it's a go. So
yeah, that's,
you know, cool. There's never been, well, yeah, like in volleyball, sometimes there's 2 weeks between tryout periods and your first game. Of course, this week's a little bit later. First game's not scheduled till August 18th. But you know, they want to be ready to go. I think they see the need for it.
I don't know. Now, we can start, as far as I'm talking about golf, we can start August, well, like maybe in the last of July, but August the 1st is usually a start time for golf. And, you know, I haven't done a lot of work. I'm kind of following Montgomery County's playbook on this one. Is Montgomery County didn't go by the KHSA guidelines. They skipped. Nobody starts in Montgomery County until July 15th. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but they kind of held everybody back, and the people I talked to in Montgomery County actually seem to kind of like that, that they're holding off because they don't know what, because you don't know what's coming down the road, and you're going to know more by the 15th of July.
Right, and that's normal starting time for volleyball anyway.
Correct.
That's the first day of tryouts every year, but they did away with dead period this year, and that gives us a little more time.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, since they did away with dead period, it actually opened everything up early in relation
right.
to where it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
How hopeful are you as far as the students that are not necessarily participating in the conditioning? How hopeful are you that those numbers will increase to give you more students, in a sense, to pick and choose from in order to make your team?
Well, I think starting next week, like I said, we can go to groups of 50, and I'm bringing in everybody at once. Of course, then we got to subdivide, but I still think that'll be the numbers will jump up then. And then I've already had a lot of kids calling and texting and so on wanting to come out for each one of the sports. And, of course, with groups of 10, I haven't been able to do that yet. So the numbers will jump up, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope the kids don't lose motivation in the time off, because they also may like the time at home and the time not doing a whole lot of activities. I think they need to be active in team sports, and I think they're very, really critical on how these kids develop throughout their lifetime. I think team sports are hugely important, and I think some people miss that somewhere. But I think it's huge for these kids to be active and something. I'm really worried about. I know with volleyball, you're called what middle? Are you middle? Impact?
No, for some unknown reason, we're called high contact.
So you're high contact.
I don't understand that, but that's where they put us.
So high contact indoor, correct? That's the same as basketball, then, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
It's definitely an interesting designation.
We're not allowed to use game formations or do anything like that right now, anyway. So.
So what's,
I don't see where the proximity, I don't see the contact.
What's the earliest that you would be able to start practicing some game situations?
Well, we don't know yet. That's in phase four.
Okay. And that's not come out yet?
Let's see. That would be July 15th.
So maybe that's why Montgomery County chose what they chose, because maybe by then they might choose not to do anything at all anyway. But are you still hearing that maybe no crowds or limited crowds or anything in that nature as far as if season does start?
I'm hearing that, you know, as a possibility. But, for example, our gym, 3,500 seating capacity, I don't see it as a problem for us to get the distancing if we let spectators come.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that with the size of the gym. Now, in the basketball, maybe a little bit different, but normally a volleyball, you have one set of bleachers pulled out at the high school, but you could pull both sets of bleachers out if you wanted, or both sets usually out for volleyball?
You can pull both sets out, and then, you know, you can sit with your family. So
right.
I think we could work it out as far as volleyball goes.
Yeah, just be a little, like I said, it'll be a little bit more of a problem for basketball, but that's further down the road. Now I think we're going to know more answers about basketball season when we get to volleyball, football, and those other sports. I know golf has really not been a big issue. I know we've got kids competing in the Bass Nationals today and tomorrow. in Wisconsin. But these are sports that are really low contact. They're outside. You're not really around other folks as much, and you can stay away from others, like in golf, cross country. There's other ways to run those races in cross country, but when you get into, like, I guess soccer and basketball and volleyball, cheerleading,
and football.
Oh, man, I just don't. I swear, I don't. I'm not knocking football at all, but with the number of cases we're seeing, like in was it Texas and Clemson,
mm-hmm.
That had uh-huh. numerous cases of COVID on their team, and man, you just wonder if that gets started that early in conditioning, how fast would it get shut down? If you were here in Powell County and let's say you get two athletes with COVID, how fast would we shut down?
Well, I'd say it'd be immediate. I'm also wondering if one person on the team tests positive, then do you have to the whole team sit out for 2 weeks? And
I would guess that would be the case.
I think they've shortened that 14-day period down a little bit, but no, I understand that a bunch. I know in Major League Baseball they shut down their spring training facilities again last week because they had, I think, four players in the Philadelphia Philly organizations who came down with COVID, and they had to shut everything down and go back for clean, but they shut the entire league down. Now they're talking about starting in July. And what if you get a player who tests positive? I mean, I know some of these players are now asked to sit in the bleachers outside the dugout for the social distancing, and the players weren't happy with that.
No, they're not happy with a 60-game season either, no, I don't think.
They're not, and their pay. But something needed to give there. I think if they're going to play, they need to play. But, again, safety, I think, should come first here for the players. And, auto racing is fine. Golf, I think those sports are fine. But when you get to these other sports, I saw yesterday where the tennis player, number one ranked tennis player in the world, held a tournament in his country and was positive of COVID and didn't tell anybody.
Really?
Until after the fact. Yeah, he's taking some major heat now.
Yeah, he ought to. He's putting everybody at risk doing that. I mean,
and now
the safety's number one.
Yeah, he's contacted all the people he was in contact with because he was at a lot of photo ops with folks and knew he was positive for COVID and still did that. And just, wow, that just has to be something that you have to worry about. Ken, we got another break to go to. We'll be back with some more from you, and we'll let you go here early. But we'll take... Hang on with us. One more break here.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9. Again, we are being joined now with Coach Ken Jones, girls volleyball and basketball at the Powell County High School. And, tell me if you've got any thoughts about what you think about what you're going to see when you have the opening season, if we have one.
What am I going to see in regard to?
Your team. Let's just do that. Let's just be positive. What are you looking forward to?
Well, the volleyball team right now, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that are that really have a lot of experience, and I look to pick up right where we left off. So I'm looking for a lot of success again.
What about the competition district-wise? How do you see your team, you know, kind of faring against the district opponents?
Well, in volleyball?
Yes.
I'm hoping it'll go like it's done in years past.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Estelle, Lee, Owsley, they'll be back. They've got a lot of experience back, too. So, volleyball, it'll be a challenge again. Basketball, of course, Owsley County is rated in the top five in the region. Some people say they'll be number one. So,
well, they were close at the end of last year, end of the year last year.
Yeah, they've got all five starters back. I think everybody's back. So
it just seems like
be a challenge.
It seems like at Owsley County, the only thing gets in their way is themselves sometimes, as far as they may play in the all-A and do well, and then after that they kind of give up. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I'm just saying in years past we've seen that out of the smaller schools. They get satisfied with the all-A, but I don't think Owsley County would do that at this point.
No, they went pretty far last year, and they're expected to go, you know, pretty far again this year. But believe it or not, I've watched some game film already from last year and looking at what we need to work on against the district opponents especially.
I can't believe that. No.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Yeah. Especially the one, the game with Estrell in the district. I've watched that one, I think, three times already. So.
Yeah, we could have maybe helped you watch that one. Again, we had a lot of I hope you didn't listen to our broadcast again, because it was, I don't know. That was a weird game, to say the least. You know, when you think back. Now, returning as far as basketball, you didn't have any seniors last year, correct?
Maddie.
Maddie, yeah, that is right. You had Maddie.
Yeah.
She was out all season for the knee.
She stayed out, 75% of the season or more after she dislocated the other knee. So.
Yeah. She had a rough couple of years with knee issues.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did,
and hopefully we'll stay away from that injury bug this year.
Now, what you had coming back from basketball last year, did you have some juniors on that, team?
Bree and Macy.
Okay, so you're still going to have two seniors, and then you're pretty young after that.
Right. Yeah, we're pretty much the same team, just a year older.
And that, you know, I think Powell County did fairly well. And again, I think some of the young girls stepped up, played out of position for a couple of the kids, and learning new positions. And I think you'll see those kids grow leaps and bounds and be that much better for you this year.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. They've grown up quite a bit. I saw a lot of improvement last year, so
yeah.
Maybe we can continue from there and move forward with it.
Yeah, on the positive side, I think the weight room is probably the one thing they were probably lacking, that in conditioning. And I think if you could do that more here through this COVID period, I think the team is much better off for that.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to do that in season when we can.
Yeah, so. I think that would be great especially for the girls. All the girls' sports programs, I think, need to be more in the weight room more, you know, mine as well. I think that would be one thing we're probably lower than other schools around us, is a little bit lighter in the weight room as far as workout ethic.
Yeah, it just comes down to a matter of time.
Yeah.
You don't have time to do this, do that, work on the floor and everything else, and then work in daily in the weight room. It's just, you know, 120 minutes a day. So got to get the priorities in there.
Well, you got any closing thoughts or remarks you want to share with us?
Well, no, just hope everybody stays home and stays healthy. And crossing my fingers at the KHSAA will let us play.
Well, I tell you what, we're all hoping the same thing and hope we get back to normal as soon as we can. As much as we all probably think in the back of our head, let's hope. That's all we can do is be positive on this and think for the best. But stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you when season starts, Ken.
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Right, take care.
Thank you both for having me.
No problem. We enjoyed it. Again, we're going to take another break here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, this is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon. We'd like to thank again Coach Ken Jones, Balcony High School volleyball and girls basketball head coach, and been there quite a long time and has built really two of the most formidable programs we have in basketball, or in the high school, our volleyball and basketball. What he's done with these programs has been really phenomenal. So, again, I'd like to thank Ken for joining us tonight. And again,
just the consistency.
Yeah,
right? Just consistency, so consistent. Year in and year out with the player development,
yeah.
With how far they go. And obviously you always want to keep going further than you did prior, but consistently, though, he gets his teams ready and prepared year in and year out to make those runs.
Well, I guess the kind of teams he coaches with volleyball, he doesn't play the power game as much, but it's a very conservative approach at volleyball. It lets you make more mistakes than him. However, mixed in with some power and good serving, those are just the stalemates of his teams. And then basketball, always kind of just, it's a methodical approach at the game of basketball, and very consistent normally. If you follow just the big time offense, again, if you're looking for a lot of threes, you're probably not going to see it, but you're going to look at a power game. Which he still likes to play. So those are the qualities that he has, but a lot of district titles came his way.
Yeah, and on one hand, too, ultimately it goes back to the individual players developing their own set of skills on their own accord,
yes.
And then you bring that development, you know, during the off season, if you will. Now you bring that to the gym, you know, at that given time, and to give yourself that better opportunity. So on one hand, if you're not playing or starting, that goes back on you,
yeah.
In many respects, that you need to up your game and develop those skill set in order for the coach to look at you and say, you know what, I can see the improvement. I can use you and insert you here when I need you. So again, when you're in those positions, you're not necessarily getting the time. Maybe you need to put in the time yourself.
That's exactly right. You can always put more work in what you do. In all the things that we do out there.
Oh, absolutely. We can all look ourselves in the mirror, right?
That's exactly right. That's one thing that we all need to do a little bit more of. I want to give you an update on the Bass team. Again, they are in Wisconsin at the Nationals. We have Dylan Lowry and Carson Ewan, who are there fishing. They turned in three fish today, which is the limit, was three. But they... Their weight was a little bit lower, so they didn't have a great finish today. However, there were one team I saw with a leader had three fish and 11 and a half pounds. So they got some monster bass in that boat. But Powell County's team was down the list a little bit. But they have day two tomorrow, so they could flip it all around just to have a big day. They could probably, I think they need probably 10 pounds tomorrow, 9 or 10 pounds. They may get to qualify for the weekend, and hopefully they do so. And they have also some opportunities to get into the Friday-Saturday event as well.
Correct.
Just some other ways to get in. So there's all kinds of ways to get in, but let's send some thoughts and prayers their way on a really good fishing day tomorrow.
Yeah, and the difficult thing is they're used to fishing on lakes.
Yeah.
This is on the Mississippi River. So obviously different circumstance in many respects what they're used to, and as you mentioned off the air, so they did some practice fishing, not necessarily catching bass.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, who knows what you're going to find in the Mississippi.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's just going, you're going to find bass, but they've got some major events going on at the same time with the high school nationals up there in Wisconsin, and some of them are not just bass tournaments, but you know, you think about a bass tournament, you normally go to a lake. Well, they're fishing in the Mississippi. So, again, let's hope that they have a better catch. Again, they got their limit. And I saw some boats, there were about 15 boats that just got one fish today. So it wasn't like, there was a ton available. So
there's like 120 teams.
Yeah,
you know,
something like 120. Yeah. Something like 120 boats in the water leaving at different times. And I think you go out by boat number, and I think the boat number was 154. So they went out by boat number, and you know, if you're the last one of the later boats out, you would think tomorrow you go in reverse order at least, because maybe those other first few boats went out to their own spots, and by the time they, I don't know how it all works.
If you have a chance to scout in a sense, right, while you're practicing, you know, and all of a sudden you realize these areas, by the time you get there,
somebody's occupied,
in there. You know, at that point it makes it a little tougher.
So hopefully, and I would think they would do that. They would maybe flip the times on release. If not, then to me it's a bad setup, but that's just the way I think. Again, it is a big river, so there's probably a lot of places to go. We've got a lot of backup options you got to go to.
Well, the fact that they've made it to this national
and
tournament
young.
as eighth graders,
yes.
Correct,
yes.
As we interviewed them last week, you know, to make it as eighth graders, to have this opportunity, and obviously it's going to be a learning experience for them regardless. I mean, they can say that they went to the national, you know, bass tournament championship in a sense. I mean, that's
a big deal by
that
itself.
Is a big deal.
So when Dylan and Carson get back, you guys send them some love their way, and get on Facebook. And I know Connie's got it on hers, and I think Barry Ewan has a Facebook page. You go on there, send some best wishes for them, and I'm sure the kids would really appreciate it. So again, they are representing Powell County, and all their sponsors are on their jerseys, on their uniforms. So it's a great way to go for those kids. They've been up there, I think, for like 4 or 5 days now, and had a couple practice days. And again, wish them the best luck tomorrow. Again, let's hope that the COVID numbers are coming down. We Ken and I don't think they're really going to come down with as much as now. We're probably seeing some Memorial Day numbers coming through. We're also seeing maybe some of the phase where we were out maybe during the protest. Lexington, Louisville area, as far as the bigger areas that were out doing that. But again, if you have an event, I know we got some travel kids playing ball out of state. Those kids got to be safe and be careful about when they come back here. You know, I know we're not all quarantining when you come back from out of state now, because you kind of, this is self-policing, folks. And you know, if you've been around, you've been at risk, then take care of, especially those who have a hard time taking care of themselves, like me and Ken. not Ken Jones, we're talking about. Ken Simon Young. Just a couple years younger than me. But, again, when you get to be over 50, I saw that a teacher that had died in one of the tech centers about 4 or 5 days ago, 47 years old, died of COVID. So it's not just the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It's, you know, 47s and...
It's no respecter of anybody.
It's affected 9-month-olds. It's not just, and folks, it's misleading if you listen to some of the media and some of the comments that are made by our leaders. There's no problem. There's still a big problem out here, and I don't think that this is going to slow down for the next year, really. I think it's because everybody's expecting a bigger uptick in the fall. So if we're going to get a bigger uptick in the fall than we already are, it's going to be, it could be really bad really soon, which is why I worry about the fall season as far as, you know, you hate to say fall season, but you got a lot more important things out there. So be safe. Follow those healthy at home orders. Wash your hands, wear your mask, and watch your distance. See you next week here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Pickup Country 104.